So Dina goes out to see the girls of the land. What's going on? Shechem hears there's a gorgeous girl in town. And he goes to the bushes and he stands there watching to see when he'll see her. And he waits an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 2 days, four. He can't see her. She's so modest. She's never leaving the tent. So he says, how am I going to get her out? He arranges for some music and girls to come dancing outside by her tent. He gets the girls out there and he figures if there'll be girls dancing, she'll at least go out to see. And that's what he does. So he arranges for a party to go on out there, and the girls start dancing, and they have female musicians, and everything's very modest. So Dina hears all this. She takes a peek. She sees only girls, only women. She goes out to see what's going on. She goes out. Shechem sees her. He's overtaken. He charges forward, whisks her off her feet, abducts her, takes her to his house, and does what he does with her. And he's madly in love with her. According to our sages, she became madly in love with him too. According to our sages, there is a special weakness in the soul of a Jewish girl that if tapped correctly, she can also fall for someone who's not Jewish, and that's what happens. Dina is taken in a way that Chazal say is characteristic. Chazal say that she didn't want to leave either. So Shechem comes to speak to his father. He says, take this girl for me as a wife. And Yaakov hears what happened. His daughter is really a minor. She's a little girl, Dina. And his sons are out in the field, and Yaakov isn't willing to say a word. Hamor comes to speak to Yaakov. He says, look, I'm a king over here, and you're from a royal family. Let's marry. This is a good idea. Yaakov's sons hear what happened, and they're very upset. Yes?
How old is Dina now?
So if we do the math, Dina should be around 6. Here she's maybe even less. Figure that Dina was born, so Shimon and Levi are about 13. And then you have Yisachar, Zvulun, and you have Dan Naphtali in between. So that makes her about 4 years younger, plus a year and a half. She had to be somewhere around 6, 7.
When you said tap into a certain power,
do you mean
physically or emotionally?
When Shechem tapped into it, it wasn't a
physical technique,
it was emotional. You know how to engage to a mind kind of thing? Is that what made that fall in love? We'll talk after class. No, it's not something I want to say online. Back to our parsha. So he tells them, you know, my son's madly in love with your daughter. If you give her over, so then we'll be able to marry one another. And this is a good land, you'll have good business. And then Shechem starts talking. He says, you know, ask me for a lot of gifts, I'll be happy. Whatever you want, I just want her as a wife. So they answer him cunningly. Yaakov doesn't answer. Shimon and Levi group with the brothers.
In front of Yaakov.
And they answer, yes. Yaakov is silent, he was waiting for them. And now they came. And now they sit down and talk, the brothers, and Shimon and Levi come back and say,
something like paskening in front of the rabbi.
It's a good question. According to one understanding, that's why he was upset at them. What are you guys? So Yaakov wanted them to run the show here. We see that Yaakov wasn't willing to talk till they were there. And they say, you know, you're uncircumcised. When we want to curse someone, we tell them, may you uncircumcised one. We can't marry like that. You got to be like us. If we're going to be different physically, it won't work. If everyone circumcises, we can do this. So, and if not, we're going to take our girl and leave. So they liked the idea that they were playing tough, meaning the brilliance in their move was that Shechem was suspect. He was concerned. Maybe they're bluffing. When they gave him such a hard condition, and when they ended it with the sentence, and if not, we're taking her back, so Shechem sees, they're legit. You see, he was waiting for them to say something tough. Sometimes that's part of game theory. If you want the other side to buy in, so you have to know how to play it. So they played it exactly on the line. They knew what he was looking for. And so they made a harsh claim, and they continued it with the sentence, and if not, we're taking her back. So He liked that. And so he quickly tells everyone, this is what you got to do. And it's not a big deal. It's a small procedure. Look at all these huge macho men. They all do it. It must be a healthy thing. Come on. It's going to be good for us financially. There's so much land here. We're only going to gain from it. So in come Shimon and Levi. And they're the expert doctors. And they do mass circumcisions. And they insist that Shechem sends out his secret squad to check and catch any person that was hiding or wasn't circumcised. And by doing that, anyone who was hiding had to run away from further away from the city. Anyone who wasn't going to be circumcised had to run away, because Shechem has his police force looking all around town to ensure that there's no one hiding, that everyone was circumcised. And this was a way of ensuring there's no one there who could stand up to them. And then they come on the third day. Ostensibly, they're checking up on all the sick, and you could imagine these two kids coming in and saying, we're here to check on them, how they've been. Oh boy, it's serious. You guys have to be real quiet and not disturb them now. We're going to take care of them, give them some sleeping pills. They're going to be calm and quiet for a bit. Don't disturb them. Leave them alone in the room, okay? And then they go house by house and they kill all the people. We're checking up on you. Let me check your pulse for a second, right? Okay? And then the rest of the family comes and takes all the loot and they capture everything. And Yaakov tells them, the neighboring cities who have peace treaties with them are going to destroy us. And what do Shimon and Levi say? They say, are we going to let them get away with treating our sister like a woman of ill repute? And Yaakov doesn't answer. So who won the argument? Did they? Sometimes, by giving a forceful answer, a person loses. Sometimes, the person who is quiet is the victor. I once went to Chinatown, and I was looking to buy specific ink, which is similar to the ink Chazal speak about in the Gemara. I wanted to compare it. So I was looking at the different types of inks, and I was trying to understand something, and an elder person came and started telling me things which I knew. So in my youthfulness, I said, I know. He went silent. Boom. And I couldn't get another word out of him. When I needed more help with other things, I was looking for other things, he stood there quiet. Oh, you know. Right? Silence is sometimes the greatest victor. And Yaakov is not silent. He is silent until the time of the blessings will come. And then he'll come back to them and say, hey, you remember? You guys. And then he's going to curse them. So sometimes you'll notice their argument doesn't address his argument. He says, you've endangered the whole family. They say, will we let him get away with it? How does that answer the question? You've endangered the whole family. So Yaakov doesn't answer such a question.
Was Yaakov not mad about this whole situation?
He was. Yaakov felt, by what right are you killing the whole city?
He seemed very passive about it.
He thought that they were waiting to have everyone circumcised, and then they'd walk in and take Dina out. Maximum, they'd have to kill Shechem and Hamor. Fine. The two of them are culprits. He never thought for a minute that they planned on killing the rest of the the rest of the city. And he said, what are you doing to our reputation? Everyone's going to say they made a deal with them, and then they went and killed the whole city. What are you doing to our name? What kind of Chilul Hashem is this? How could you do this? But if they're all circumcised, so Yaakov thought they wanted everyone to be weak so that they could walk in and take out Dina and then they'll leave. Okay, that makes sense. If they have to kill Shechem and Hamor, fine. But the whole city.
Why is he called donkey? Anyway.
The word Hamor connotes Chomriyut.
Yeah.
So now God changes his name to Yisrael, but God teaches him that he has both names. Rachel passes away in the middle of childbirth. And this is all because Yaakov detained him paying up his vow. And when a woman dies, the most respectful thing is to bury her as soon as possible, because the female bodily fluids will disgrace the body. So right away he buries her en route. He has a bunch of children to deal with, the family, the orphans. And we have the story of Reuven. Sometimes in life, when we think something's right, we should pause. Reuven's error is that he acts swiftly. He thinks he's right. He has good intentions. But he's getting involved where he shouldn't have gotten involved. If his father decides to move the bed to this room, as much as he's trying to protect his honor and his mother's honor, and he has correct intentions, he doesn't belong there. And that's where Yaakov will rebuke him. He'll tell him, "What were you so quick to get involved?" When you think you have to do something radical and it seems right, wait. You almost always will only gain by waiting. And you stand to lose a lot by acting quickly.
Good effect.
Last night, I'll conclude.